You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, we're less than 2 weeks away from our first Browns preseason game. Be sure to tune into News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, to watch every Browns preseason game this season. Also, be sure to tune in this Sunday at 11 for Inside the Cleveland Browns, then 11:30 for the Dog Pound Report. We're going to be doing it apparently live again here from training camp this Sunday, Matt Wilhelm. That's what I am told about. That's what I'm told.
I'm not going to be a part of it.
Why were you?
I'll be shooting ICB with Sarah Kearns.
On Sunday?
Am I going to be a part of both shows?
Yeah, man.
That'd be great.
You can do it all.
I can do it all.
You're very talented.
Whether they ask me to or not, it's a different
remains
story.
To be seen. But nonetheless, Inside the Cleveland Browns will be on at 11, and 11:30 will be Dog Pound Report on the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, News Channel 5. All right. We're going now to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, bringing in a man who has been with the Browns for the last 2 days for ESPN, talking about Bob Holtzman. Bob, welcome to the show.
Nathan, thank you. Good to be here.
It's good to be with you as well. You're with the Browns for the last 2 days, and we'll just kind of start high level. Your overall impressions of this team after spending 2 days here?
Yeah, I think the first thing that jumps out is the roster being a lot more solid and deeper than it was last year. I think that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin in year two have really built some depth. I really like the secondary. I really like the offensive line. I think it's definitely a team headed the right direction.
Bob, is this a team, as you look at the AFC North top to bottom, sent three teams to the playoffs last year, most likely in contention to do the same? Have the Browns built a team that can compete in that division as you see it?
Well, Matt, I mean, I think there's no question they can compete. I mean, keep in mind, as you guys know, mid-November last year they were in first place. So will they compete? Yes. Can they win the division? I don't know. I mean, I guess what I'd say is this, and you don't want to oversimplify it too much, and I like Josh McCown, but I'm not sure that you compete with Ben Roethlisberger and some of the elite quarterbacks in the league unless you figure out who your quarterback is going forward. And, Matt, I know you played with some of the best. I mean, you played with Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and some of these guys, and they elevate your entire team. And, Josh McCown had one great month 2 years ago with the Bears, an outstanding month. He was the best quarterback in football for the month that he was on the field. But the other, dozen or so years that he's bounced around the NFL, he hasn't done a whole lot. And I know they're putting a lot of faith in him, and I know they've been extremely impressed by him. But I guess in my mind, at least, the jury's still out.
Talking with Bob Holtzman from ESPN, who was out for the last 2 days at Browns training camp. And obviously, I agree with you. It's about the quarterback. I think the pieces are in place around that quarterback. They need to get that quarterback play. Josh McCown will be the starter. But what did you see from Johnny Manziel, who I thought had a particularly good day today?
Yeah, he looked good today. I had a chance to watch the entire practice today. And I saw, and again, naked eye and certainly not a trained eye. I mean, I don't know quarterbacking any better than other random fans do. But I saw a different guy today. I saw a guy that looked much sharper. I saw Johnny Manziel that looked more in control than I think he did last year. I spent a lot of time here last year during training camp, and Manziel to me looked like a guy whose head was kind of spinning at times. I didn't see that at all today. With that said, I think he's still got a ways to go. I'm not sure that anybody would debate that. But I definitely can see progress, and I think the best sign is that to a man, people I've talked to over the past 2 days, whether it be coaches, teammates, whomever, they will tell you the same thing. It's that Johnny Manziel is engaged. It's night and day, what was the term that Joel Bitonio used today. And obviously Bitonio knows Manziel well. They roomed together last year. Yep. He said he's night and day between last year and this year. That's obviously a very good sign.
Bob, we talked about competing in the AFC North. Ray Farmer selected 12 individuals in the 2015 draft and was very active in that second week of the free agency period, signing Randy Starks, Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline. Just want your overall impression on the additions that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin have sought out this offseason.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear what they did. They went out and drafted a bunch of young guys with high ceilings. Duke Johnson obviously comes to mind. And then they went and signed some veteran guys who can sort of, you know, lead in the locker room. I mean, McCown's a perfect example of that. Randy Stark's another one. Dwayne Bowe, another one. Hardline especially. I mean, guys who have been in the league a long time, who have played in other organizations, some of them multiple organizations, who can come in and sort of help mold this young roster. And I think, and I hate to keep going back to the quarterbacks, but I think that's probably the best example is, you know, Josh McCown at 36 years old, I mean, how many more years does he have? A couple, maybe?
Right.
His job, it's a very different dynamic than last year with Brian Hoyer.
Yes.
Who was trying to establish himself, who was trying to win a starting quarterback job really for the first time in his career. Those guys, Manziel and Hoyer, were going at it. They weren't buddy-buddy because they were fighting for the same job. Josh McCown knows this job is his for now. It's temporary. And part of his job is to help Johnny Manziel grow and eventually take that job when Josh McCown's finished.
Talking with Bob Holtzman from ESPN, who was out here the last 2 days at Browns camp. Bob, who's somebody that you expected to be good that surprised you with just how good they are? And who's somebody that kind of just caught your eye that you didn't know much about that after 2 days you're like, wow, this guy could be a player for this team?
Well, that's great questions. I mean, I think the first one is Danny Shelton. And part of it is he can't help but catch your eye because he's so massive. He is a big guy. And you know, they've got a number of big defensive tackles on this roster. I'm not sure any of them are as big as he is. And, you know, I talked to Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator, the other day, and he was raving not only about how big he is, but about his big personality and how he seems comfortable. He's a character on the field, in the locker room. I think that's a good thing. And obviously in this division, you've got to stop the run, and they didn't do that last year. So I think that's definitely somebody I would have my eye on. And then I mentioned him earlier, but the running back, Duke Johnson, out of Miami, I was surprised yesterday to hear Mike Pettine sort of admit, maybe it slipped, maybe it didn't, but talk about how big of a role they expect him to have on this team and how frustrating it is that he's dealing with a hamstring right now and isn't able to practice because, you know, this is when, that, as you guys know, they sort of build the foundation going forward. And a rookie like that, he needs to be on the field. He needs to be going, getting the reps, learning the playbook, doing all that. And I think, you know, I don't think it's a long-term deal. I mean, it sounds like maybe a couple of weeks. If that doesn't push him back too much, I was surprised to hear how much they really intend to use him.
Bob, appreciate the time. Hope you enjoyed your time out here in Berea with the Cleveland Browns. I know you got to run, so thank you so much for checking in with us. And it's good to hear some national optimism about this Cleveland Browns team.
Training camp's a time for optimism.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Bob Holtzman from ESPN. We're going to shift gears now with a special guest live in studio here in the Dog Bowl in Berea as we are joined right now by the general manager of your Cleveland Browns, Mr. Ray Farmer. Ray, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I just wanted to stop by, walk by, saw the guys in Dog Bowl working hard.
There you go.
Why not pop in?
Matching orange shirts.
Yes.
I know. I didn't get the memo.
Complimenting your brown.
I didn't get the memo.
You didn't get. That's okay. He's looking good. He's got the opposite. He's the man. He's standing out from us. That's good. So, Ray, let me ask you here, 6 days through training camp, how pleased are you with what you've seen thus far?
I'm very pleased. I'm excited about really the plan and seeing that vision of what Pett and I have for this football team come to life. So, what we're doing offensively, what we're doing defensively, year two seems to have taken a step forward.
Ray, the one concern that we have, and you could hear it in Coach Pettine's voice yesterday, was, you know, Terrence West and Duke Johnson missing time. But for a guy like Sean Drone, who we had sitting in your very same seat yesterday, that's opportunity, and that's all you really want to give to anybody out here throughout training camp, is just that opportunity to prove to you that they can play and potentially help your football team win games.
You know, the positive from my side as a scout is that you get a chance to see guys. The more you can see them, the more you can make, you know, informed decisions. You know, you have, in every instance, there's always some sort of preconceived notion as to what the guy is or what he can do. But given more and more opportunity, you get to see that, hey, well, this guy really can do these things. This guy can help us in this capacity. So it gives the guys those opportunities to try to make the football team and move us forward.
Right now, you've had some injuries at running back, as Matt alluded to, and you brought in a couple of younger guys in here. Any thought given to bringing in one of the veterans that are out there, perhaps an Ahmad Bradshaw, Steven Jackson, Chris Johnson, Ray Rice even, of the guys that are out there to help kind of this young running back room?
From our perspective, it's always about you mill over all the names. We've talked about everybody that's available for us to try to assign to this team. And for us, you know, you want to – I like the idea of giving guys those opportunities specifically for the roles that you have them play. So we like our guys. We like Crow. We like West. We like Duke Johnson, and we like Drawn as well. Even Lundy, the guys that have been here, they've been good. Now, the fact that they're missing time, it gives other guys an opportunity to shine and show what they can do. But the vets that are out there, they have a book on them, if you will, of tape and what their skills sure. are. And if necessary, then we'll address those when those times come up.
You talked about the backs that you like here. Isaiah Crowell obviously getting an opportunity as the one guy who's supposed to have a big role, and now with West out and Duke out, getting a lot of reps, looked good today. I thought he had a very good day. How comfortable with you are you with him being the guy here in his second year?
Again, I don't know if there is a the guy.
Sure.
Again, I'm big on the idea of having waves of players, different, you know, guys come in at different times to contribute to the roster. And that's at all positions. You know, you look across the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends. The committee approach, to me, adds a whole lot more variance as to what teams have to prepare for. When you go play the Minnesota Vikings, all credit due to Adrian Peterson. He's had a stellar career. He's a dynamic player. But I think when teams don't really know what they're going to get and how they're going to get it and who's going to be the hot hand, I think it gives us an advantage in those capacities.
Ray, through each and every day that we do this radio show that we're out there at training camp, we have our multiple takeaways. And Nathan and I, in our top three, consistently take away that Danny Shelton is living up to the bill of where the Cleveland Browns selected him 12th overall. And what I made mention of today is the tape that I watched of him at Washington is exactly what I've seen transfer over to the practice field. And that's got to be exciting for you, at least through 6 days of training camp.
It's always exciting when you see guys get on the field and demonstrate what you thought they were going to be. Again, we haven't gotten to real games. We haven't seen this guy in real action. But nonetheless, staying true and focused on the tape is what it comes down to. And that's what the scouting staff did a good job of. I remember when a lot of people asked me post-draft, this guy didn't run well, this didn't happen, et cetera, et cetera. It comes down to how do they play the game. And then the great coaches, you know what they do? They ask the guys to do those things that they saw on tape, and that's what Pett and the defense staff and Jim O'Neill yeah. are doing. Do what you do, big fella. We're not asking you to run down the field 75 yards. We're asking you to clog up the run, get a good pass rush, push the pocket, do those things. And he has. He's fit the bill so far.
Even though he seems to enjoy running 50 yards down the field after pass plays, just because he loves to play the game, which is also a great thing to see. Talk with the general manager of Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, right now live in the Dog Bowl. Now, one of the things that I learned from you in talking to you over the last few years is never go into training camp with a preconceived notion of what you think the 53 is going to be or who is going to be on it. And you just need to allow the play to dictate what you decide to do. And you've been preaching all along, the best 53 players are going to be here. Who's somebody, if you're comfortable singling somebody out or a couple people that have really kind of, you know, you try to go in with an open mind, but everybody has their biases, that's really just kind of opened your eyes and said, wow, this guy can play here and is going to make things even harder for me when it comes time to get down to 53?
Candidly, I would tell you that I'm really comfortable with everybody that's here. I think however you would classify them, if you rank the receivers one to whomever, at the end of the day, I look at the whole group, and I say, wow, like, there are tough decisions all the way through.
Sure.
Any of these guys have demonstrated that they have a skill set that they can contribute to this roster. So it's difficult, whether it's receiver, whether it's tight end, whether it's running back, whether it's, you know, linebacker. There's a ton of guys on this field right now, in my mind, that have the capabilities to play in the National Football League.
You guys did a great job with undrafted free agents last year. Obviously, major contributions, Taylor Gabriel, Kaywan Williams, Isaiah Crowell, and others from that group. This year, it seems like you're getting contributions again from some undrafted guys right out of the gate. Deontay Saunders on the defensive side of the ball, E.J. Bibbs at tight end, and Darius Jennings, who continues to make plays at wide receiver. What's kind of the process by which you guys find and mine these undrafteds, and how open are you to keeping, say, an undrafted guy who performs better than somebody who was maybe drafted in a 12-person draft class?
Keep the best players. At the end, when we figure out who those guys should be and we get to the end of this thing, it's got to be about the best players. So to that degree, the process is kind of the same. I'll start back in, you know, you're preparing for the draft, you're getting ready for the undrafted free agent part of the process, and as you rank all those guys and stack them, one of the things that we did a good job of, in my mind, is, you know, making sure that the coaches and the scouts had to work together. So different than other places I've been where the coaches get a list and they give you their ideas of who they like, and then the scouts give you a list of who they like, we had those guys work in unison. So then we got a list that they like.
It's like watch the tape together and say, I like this and this is why.
Exactly. And then when you get that information, now there's unity. there's a buy-in from everyone. The coaches like the player, and they're excited to work with him. The scouts like the player because they like the talent. They think he's there. So you come to those conclusions on the front end rather than, oh, we didn't like that guy, the scouts liked him, or we didn't like that guy, but the coaches liked him. You don't have those battles because those all have happened behind closed doors when the scout and the coach are discussing any particular player together. And they've then decided this is how we're going to rank them, and then this is how the Browns are going to select them.
One of the hot-button topics of this training camp through at least 4 days, simply because he hasn't practiced the last two, has been Terrell Pryor. Just your overall take, he was an absolute flyer. I think a great opportunity for him to change positions and show not only yourself, but get some tape out there of him playing wide receiver at the National Football League level. And just your takeaway on him, his size, his playmaking ability, and how transferable are those skills into a game setting for the Cleveland Browns?
That part I would tell you, we don't know yet. So he hadn't played in the game. We haven't seen him going against other competition in a live venue. But so far, so good. He's big. He's athletic. I think we all knew those things. He's fast. The transition, in my mind, really comes down to his input back to it. And from right now, I can tell you the young man's been phenomenal since he's been in the building. He's embraced the change. He's working hard. And again, regardless of what people may think about him as a quarterback, to some degree, the guy has a quarterback mind. So when you start calling plays, he just thinks about it in a way that the QB would think about it. So
sure,
he can learn a lot of information in a short period of time in comparison, I hate to say this, but a lot of guys, like if most receivers are different skill position players, they're accustomed to learning their job. But this guy is thinking on a grander scale, so he can then now be a little bit more versatile in what he can do. You can line him up anywhere because potentially the guy knows what to do at every single spot on the field.
Speaking of quarterbacks and the quarterback mentality, we've heard so much about Josh McCown and the praise of his leadership and his play on the field, which has merited some of the excitement here. But I thought Johnny Manziel today had arguably the best day he's had since he's put on a Browns uniform in a practice and just looks more comfortable, more decisive. What are you seeing from him on tape that gives you confidence that he's progressing and really starting to, I don't know if get it's the right word, but starting to really look like an NFL quarterback from the pocket, making reads and delivering the football with strength and accuracy?
I'm seeing a phenomenal job by Kevin O'Connell, Flip, Roper. Those guys have poured a lot of knowledge into Johnny in a short period of time. If he continues to grow on that path, I think those guys deserve all the credit. I'm not trying to minimize Johnny because I think he's putting in the work as well. But I do believe how we're coaching him, what we're asking him to do, what they're telling him to look at, how he's kind of making his reads and progressions have shown the time that they've all put in to what he's becoming. And I think you can see those things every single day when you see him go out there, get better, make reads, and to your point, make throws. I think that's what it comes down to. Can the guy make the reads and can he make the throws? So far, so good. So we're excited about where he's at and where he can go.
My last question for you, Ray, I was going to say Coach Ray, is
it's a football term.
Exactly, right? is just communication, and I think you with Coach Pettine and then Coach Pettine with those assistant coaches, how much feedback do you take from those position coaches who spend so much time with these position groups and with their guys when you weigh that final 53?
I would say a ton. It's really interesting to hear what the coaches say on how the guy is, how he responds, when he's challenged. When you put him on the spot and you put we call it the red light district, when they put the red light on you when you're watching the tape, how does the guy, does he wilt in those situations? Does he get fired up? Does he dedicate himself? You learn a lot from the coaches about how the guy conducts himself as a pro, but also how does he handle adversity. The National Football League, that's all it's really built on, is can you handle the stress of the environment? Can you shine when the pressure's on and situations are their toughest? So I'd say a lot of what they tell us weighs heavily on who's going to be on this football team and why they're going to be on the football team.
And has there been any kind of, you talked about the difference in your draft process from last offseason to this season, learning going into your second year. Is that the exact same as it was last year? Or have there been some tweaks in terms of how you're going to communicate with the coaches when paring down to the final 53?
We've come up with a really good strategy of we meet a lot and we have these conversations and then we record the minutes and we keep track of, okay, where's this guy week one in training camp? Where's this guy week two? Where's this guy after the scrimmage? Where's this guy after the game? So as you go through these processes, it's not just about the latest greatest. So, hey, Nathan had a great day today. We should keep Nathan. It doesn't become that. It becomes, what does his body of work look like?
Sure.
Because that body of work is what's going to stand up over time.
And that's what I kind of mentioned as you evaluate talent. The coaches doesn't want to look, you know, they don't want the guy that's great one day, bad the next. They want that guy that's, you know, that reaches their peak and plateaus and consistently grows, you know, especially for a young player. That's how a young player solidifies himself as an NFL football player and has a 5+ year career.
That's the big thing for us now is continuing on that path. Draft young guys, develop them, and then keep your guys. Grow Browns. I think when you look at kind of who we are, what we're doing, I think we've done a really good job of bringing in the right kind of vets, the guys that can help establish the culture that we want to see here, a winning culture. But inevitably, those guys are imparting wisdom in those younger guys. Those younger guys are going to grow. And that's because we have a really good coaching staff that they teach. Coaching is really teaching.
Yep.
And as you teach and those young guys grow and they flourish, then like you were saying, we got to have a product where the young guys come into the building and they believe that they're going to get better. And that competition is what that comes down to, is the dispersal of reps, is using guys in games and giving guys opportunities. Because if a guy believes he can make it and he's committed to attaining that in his craft, he will grow, he will get better, and then as a result, we'll get better as a team.
And along those lines, I would imagine that there has to be some type of, you know, you can hear coaches or you can hear a GM say, look, we're going to keep the best 53, we're going to play the best guys, where you're drafted ultimately doesn't matter. But when you see it in action with a guy like Pierre Desir, who has been that consistent guy along that path, improving, getting those first team reps over somebody in Justin who was perhaps drafted before him, or not perhaps, was drafted before him, the message that sends, I would imagine, is a powerful one to the locker room and also to the individuals involved in that situation.
It has to be. You have to keep the guys that warrant that attention. Matt made a great point. When you come into any type of NFL franchise or really any job, the opportunity to then grow and to get better and then earn, that's what really thrives people. That's what makes you go, is that if I earn it, they'll give it to me. You can't not reward the guy for going out and making plays every day in practice, making plays in preseason game, and then you turn around and cut him. It's like,
what do I need to do?
So conversely, when the guy does make those plays, you have to reward him. It's just the natural evolution of things.
How do you feel about where Justin Gilbert is at in terms of his progression? We know Pierre's out there right now. He had some interesting comments, I would call them, with the media yesterday. Where do you see Justin Gilbert as he gets ready for his second season?
I see him where he's continuing to evolve. He's got to continue to take those steps. I think our coaches are really good at challenging him in a variety of ways. So not just, hey, you got to go out and you got to play man-to-man on this receiver because he's really good. It's more about the mental challenges of, okay, I'm going to put you in an adverse situation that you may or may not be ready for, but it'll speak to how did you study? What did you learn during the offseason? Can you retain what we talked about from the first week of OTAs that we haven't really worked on since then? And then now those guys, like, that's what it demonstrates you're a pro. And then as he continues to get better in those things, it'll grow. It'll continue to grow the whole process. I mean, Pet made the point that trust is lost in buckets and is gained in drops. So he's got to continue to add drops back to his bucket so that the coaches realize, you know what, I can trust this guy. He did go out. He's done all these great things. And now look at it. He's built himself back into all the things that we thought he could be, and it's a daily process.
And certainly that is something that I hope he wants to work on, and because he seemed like he could be a very valuable asset for this Browns franchise. Right, last one we've seen in Seattle, they've locked up a lot of those guys. You talked about developing and then retaining your own. We know that Sean Gibson, maybe Alex Mack are out there. Anything moving maybe in a contract extension type of a format?
All of those conversations
are private.
Are private.
But good question. You appreciate the question anyway. I had to ask it.
I just closed my eyes and started laughing.
I had to ask
knowing I'd get nothing.
I knew I'd get nothing, but I had to ask it.
I'll say this. We like all of our guys. We like all of our guys. And at that point, it takes two to make a deal.
Yep.
You know, everybody's got to be happy. Everybody's got to like the circumstance. And I think that as we continue to build here and guys continue to see the culture and the system behind what we're doing, they'll want to be Browns, and that'll make all of these kind of conversations real easy, warm and fuzzy. And I will say this, it's really, really easy and really, really good to have those press conferences. It's not so good when either you decide to let a guy go or you decide to go in a different direction. So those are the fun ones. Those are the good ones. We want to have those as often as possible, because when you do, that means you have a really good football team, because guys are coming up. Guys need to get deals, and you got to figure that part out.
Ray, we appreciate time. I just want to share with you on Twitter, while you've been on the air with us, we've got a lot of people, the career coach saying that he believes that we have something going on here. He said he loves the draft. Farmer is the man to me. Ray Duvall saying, please tell Ray I'm excited about the talent and depth. Keep doing a great job at building the team. thank you so much. So people are very excited about seeing what's happening here. And I think, you know, talking to the national people, there's a sense that this roster is significantly better and deeper than it was just a year ago, let alone 2 years ago, when you've really remade basically 77% of it.
I really want to say this so that everybody hears me. It's not just me. There's a lot of people in this building. Our scouts work extremely hard. All the admin people that are around that assist us in what we do, the video department, IT, everybody contributes to what we actually produce at the end result. You know, I've spoken a lot about the coaches, but their involvement is invaluable. That symmetry that we kind of have with each other and how we work back and forth, it has been, in my mind, really, really good when the coaches then allow the scouts to sit in their meetings so the scouts can learn exactly what we're telling them to do, exactly how we're operating. Those things then are infectious. When guys go on the road, they have those relationships. They have that knowledge to grow it even further. And I think that's what makes a building special. When the culture is so good that the people inside of this building are really focused on one thing, and that's making the Browns better. And I think that's what we have.
We certainly love that and can't wait to see some real games coming up here. The first preseason game just 8 days away. Can you believe it?
I can believe it. It's always funny. When you go away for the summer, you're like, man, like football season's right around the corner. And then it's so quick now. Like, I remember back in the day, you go to camp, and it seemed like you were in camp for like 7 months. It's not like that anymore.
No.
Like, you got a couple of weeks, and you're on the field, and you're playing games. So I think it's good for the fans. It's good in a lot of ways. I will say this. I do think it's a little bit of a strain on the players, though. When you go from ultimate vacation to you're in it, and you got a short period of time to get ready. It just speaks to how the change in the game is now coming down to guys having to really be, I'll say, accountable 12 months out of the year. It's no longer where you can take time off and truly get away from it.
Right.
Guys need to be focused on their own time about their craft, so when they come in, they are prepared.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us. The general manager of your Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, just stopping by.
I'm going to stop by again.
Good. We love it. You can stop whenever you want. That chair is open for you. We'll be back with hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll hear from the head coach, his partner in crime, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, when we return right after this.